Okay, so I want to get this. We're gonna have a lot of new listeners, because this is the Animal Crossing. It's gonna be a big show. So I was thinking we should sort of, in the cold open here, we don't normally address the audience. It's kind of just like a fun time for friends, and I hate to violate that sacred thing, but I think we should like all sort of introduce ourselves and like who we are. So like, I'm Justin, and I'm kind of the. You guys are about to all say bad boy at the same time, but mm-hmm. I'm kind of the bad boy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Griffin, you can't find me not on my skateboard.
So that kind of sounds like a bad boy thing.
Well, it does kind of sound like that, huh? And that's sort of a thing that me and Justin have going on is a friction of who's the baddest boy. Every episode, Chris and Russ will vote on who they think the baddest boy is, and the other one has to wear. It's pretty tight. It's tight, and the loser has to wear a big baby bonnet and suck their thumb the whole time.
Chris, what's your thing?
Oh, I'm the one who does the solo album, but doesn't find success, but shows up at like state fairs for the next 20 years, and you're like, wait, what band was he in? Oh, yeah. They were pretty good.
Chris is Dustin Timberlake.
I'm the one that makes it all happen, to be perfectly honest. Like, I know you all think you are making it happen. Uh-huh. It's all coming from me.
So it's two bad boys, a failure, and the puppeteer.
Can I switch to the sexy one?
You just put on Gunner glasses.
No, you can't. You can never use that adjective ever again, Justin.
I want to be the short. My mouth can't form the word. The gutters, they're blocking blue light and my ability to say sexy.
Oh my God, you look like Gamer Bono. Remove them.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the pandemic.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I am a turnip man.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I live on Sweet Boy Island.
My name is Russ Frunzig, and I should have cleared my throat before I said that.
Hello, and welcome to the Besties, where we discuss the latest and greatest in video gaming entertainment. It is a video game book club. Is a game of the year show that goes all year long. And this week we're going to talk about Animal Crossing. Now, New Horizons. Here's my thesis statement. I made no small amount of noise about not being as excited about Animal Crossing as everybody else was.
You got to take those gunners off. I can't.
I'm just can't take them off. Well, I was about to take them off at a dramatic moment, but okay. Now I'll just take them off in the course of action.
Just be careful with the strain. The eye strain is deadly.
It's serious.
Yeah, I'm already having a migraine, so thank you, Griffin. So I wasn't very excited about Animal Crossing New Horizon, and that was a few weeks ago, and now I think it may be the most, like, in a sense, important video game to ever be released in the history of humanity.
Correct.
Yes.
This is not an exaggeration.
No.
I literally think this could end up being the most important game. And important is a very loaded term. Obviously, I'm not talking about in the course of like video game development, right? It's not going to change the world the way like a Wolfenstein
or like the Beatles Minecraft. Rock Band, for example.
Or the Beatles Rock Band, you absolute
yeah,
mad lad.
Mr. Mosquito, like we're talking about the big milestone.
Irritating stick. Yeah. No, but... This game is going to save lives. Literally, again, save lives. Animal Crossing New Horizons is the most important video game possibly in the history of humanity. And I would like to talk with you about it now. That's all I have to say about it. I like catching bugs, whatever. But that's kind of where I wanted to leave from.
Yeah, I think it's worth just like the thing that Animal Crossing provides, and we're going to talk a lot about the game today, but the thing it provides is a quasi facsimile of going outside, which you, for a lot of people, cannot do right now. Yeah. And it's pretty nice.
And control.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we are in a moment now where I think people have the least amount of control they maybe ever had over their general situation. And this is a game that lets you control nearly everything in the world, to make it the world that you want it to, in a way that, like, for a lot of people is impossible right now. And I think that the balm of the sensation of being in a world that was pleasant and under my control was unlike anything I have experienced. Like, the relief I felt just getting in, I have no comparison for.
Mm-hmm. Plant, do you want to, like, just, like, do a quick rundown of, like, what this game even is for people that aren't familiar with Animal Crossing?
For the four people listening who don't know.
The long history of Animal Crossing is you move to a city. In this case, you move to an island. You get a new house and a mortgage. The mortgage is generously provided to you with zero interest. You pay it off whenever you want. As you pay it off, you grow that house. You do things like decorating the house. In this game, you can decorate the entire island effectively. Doing these things and cleaning makes you more money, which allows you to get more stuff to decorate the island and the house. It's very, very, very simple. It's basically Chores, the video game.
Oh my God. Plants.
It is. But that's, so no, I think that is part of what Justin is talking about and why it's so fulfilling. Because all the things that you do in this game are things you do in real life, but without any reward. In this game,
I mean, that's not true.
In this game, you pick weeds and you get paid for it.
I know, but you're fishing ocean fish and you're cutting trees. Like, it's, you know.
That's my day to day, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, you know why I'm not going to cut down trees? Because if I cut down trees in the real world, I probably get hurt and I get nothing for it but a cut down tree. I cut down trees here. I did some great landscaping. It was doable without, like, serious harm to myself or my friends or family.
You get wood to make a table?
I got wood so that I could make, you know, a video game console out of wood, because, like, apparently that's how you make video game consoles.
Duh.
Duh.
So that's the basics. New Horizons, I have been looking forward to this game for the better part of a decade, and I was a little bit worried about some of the things. Like, I was not sure how the crafting system was going to play out. That is, like, a new major focus in this installment that's never been in the games before. The island aesthetic, I was a little bit worried about sort of coloring the game in a way that I was not going to be a huge fan of.
Islands?
Well, tropical, no, it's islands? Just, you know, islands is a sometime food. You know what I mean? Mm. I'm a land lubber.
Yeah, that's
fair. I am blown away, like, every day that I play this game, how just smart the things that they have added in New Horizons is. Like, the crafting system, the sort of extra effort that you have to put in to get people to move to get new villagers to move to your island, having to, like, not only build the houses but kind of furnish them using the crafting system. Like, the crafting stuff, I think specifically, you could talk on and on and on about how just sort of intelligently the rest of the game has kind of been designed around it in a way that I find really, really satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, to boil it down, like, now granted, you now have to, like, go out and collect wood and rocks and various other things to, like, make the things that you want, you know, you have the recipes for. But by introducing this crafting system, it basically removes this mechanic, which was totally random previously, which was, I'm going to show up in the store and hope they have the thing that I really want.
Right.
Maybe I need, like, a wooden bookcase and I have all the other wooden stuff. And now I can either make it myself if I know the recipe, or I can rely on other people that have the recipe with multiplayer. So it, like, really puts a lot more control, I think, in players' hands, whereas previously it was RNG, which I think that core idea of removing a lot of the randomness is the, like, main thesis of what they were trying to design for with this game. And it ties into not only the crafting, but also just, like, island creation, how you set up everything. Like, you really are given, like, every tool imaginable to make this game your own.
Yeah, I think what's surprising to me about the game is it is the culmination of a whole bunch of Animal Crossing games I didn't like. Like, was it Happy Home Designer? I think that's called.
Come on, no one likes.
Yeah, no, but these are important. Like, Happy Home Designer really just focused on all of, like, the design stuff without the actual, I would say, pleasure and cycle of Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. And there was the mobile game that allowed you to do more decoration outdoors.
Sure.
But the game itself was not great. And now it feels like, in hindsight, oh, well, I didn't like either of those games. That experimentation fed into this game, which now is the core Animal Crossing loop, but with just an incredible amount of design features. And yeah. Now the entire island is yours to decorate. So you can make it a theme park, or you can make it really a mall. You can make it whatever you want. One question, though, for Hoops, because yeah. Griffin said island life is a sometime food. Now, when I think of Justin McElroy, the first thing I think is that's mm-hmm. a man who likes a nice trip to Margaritaville.
Yeah, I love that island life. I did build myself a beach house right there on the beach. That real estate wasn't taken out by anything. I'm going to go ahead and move there. Move my beautiful daughter next door. She lives in a tent because she won't go catch any bugs. My daughter lives in a shameful tent, and I'm next door in a beautiful, beautiful mansion. But Daddy leaves her gifts. Daddy oh. got her a hamster today. Left that outside her house, got her a fun ring toss game. That's been a really cool aspect of this is like, because connection is at a premium right now in our species, being able to like share things with people, visit people virtually, like go to people's island is like weirdly profound in a way that I don't want to overanalyze, but is like, is nice to go to someone's island and be like, just look around and see their stuff. To speak to the design aspects, and I know that this is, again, part of that culmination, but like the ability to download designs that people have created and put them up, that is when I decided that I would care about design. I've never cared about like decor in an Animal Crossing before. I just throw my shit wherever and like what, you know. But as soon as I found that someone had recreated a vintage Epcot t-shirt that I could download, I was like, okay, I care very much because I can make a reasonable simulacra. You come into my bedroom, I got pictures of the Magic Kingdom. I got a Twin Peaks poster oh. up that somebody made. I got wallpaper from the Haunted Mansion. It's fantastic. The process to do it is unbelievably draconian and just absolute madness. Here's how bad it was. You need three devices to do it. And I was literally trying to like figure out a way to get my Switch onto the internet so I could like through a back door so I could download the thing because my daughter was using the computer and I needed to take a picture with my phone to put it back
of a
onto
QR
the
code.
It's wild. Yeah. It's wild.
They have made it for what it's worth a lot easier once you get to a point later in the game with there's a store that unlocks that makes it a lot easier to share designs for what it's worth. But
oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's good to know. It is weird. It's a weird Animal Crossing thing that there's a lot of like, hey, good news, you've upgraded and now we've removed our own bullshit. Like there's a tool ring that you get for 800 miles, which is like a sort of side currency in the game. And it lets you press up on the D-pad and get to a tool wheel that makes it much easier to select your tools. It's wild that it's like a thing that you get. And it is equally wild that I was so stoked to pay money to unlock this UI thing that should have been in there. So that was pretty wild.
Combining two of your points, you said human connection at a premium and also typical Nintendo bullshit. How much do you think we would be complaining about the online issues with this game if it were any other time on the planet?
Yeah.
Because having to wait for people to join your island, Griffin, can you explain how online works?
Let's explain how online works. I have right before the game came out, I put my Switch code up on my Facebook page because I'm mostly just like buds with actual like people I know there, and so I got a bunch of new sort of Switch friends of people that I know and just kind of know. And so I was like, yeah, hell yeah, let's go, and got Animal Crossing New Horizons, went to the airport, turned it on. I was like, let's party, baby. And then I went into the in-game friend list and it was empty. Mm-hmm. Because before you can have somebody in your in-game friend list, you have to have played with them. So just to really reiterate that, there's no way of sending messages to people from Switch to Switch, right? There's no way. The Switch user interface doesn't have a send message to Switch friends thing. So I could text Justin, hey, idiot, open your gate so I can come over. I could fly to Justin's island, and then we would have ourselves on our in-game friends list, or we can register each other as best friends. And if you register somebody as best friends, you can see whenever they come online, and you can send messages to them at any time in the game, right?
Now, so like once you can dig up shit on their island.
Things went very smooth there. You assumed that you could just fly to his island. Yes. What if he happens to be checking his in-game phone at the moment he decide to fly to his island?
If you're talking to anybody,
even
yeah,
just the process of even if the gate is open and I'm ready to fly, you have to like okay, you have to walk to the airport. Which okay, I have to walk to the airport when I want to fly somewhere. Fair. And there's a dodo there who's like, "Hey, what's up?" This is like every one of these is a menu with slow talking, right? Hey, what's going on? I thought I'd fly somewhere. Okay, you want to fly to Harv's Island? You want to fly to a friend's island or just some random place? A friend's island. Okay, do you want to do that locally or do you want to do that online? Okay, online. Okay, if you want to go online, I have to put the on the internet. Is that okay? What have you been doing? Why have you not been? You should be hooking me into the internet. I'm already on the internet. What
they
do you mean?
They just need a Google sheet is really all they need. Like you could bang all these questions out in one go, but for whatever reason, Nintendo loves to just like, are you okay? Is this okay if I do this little thing?
And the thing is, you're up against a timer because if your friend's Switch is just like lying there, so you can go over to their partner's island and sell some fucking turnips, the clock is ticking, okay? Yeah. I have to get over there. And this dodo's like, do you want like a cushy middle seat or kind of like an aisle on the fake plane? Or do you give a shit about this? Like, teleport me!
So we should contextualize this. We're not going to go into detail on like how turnips work because it's very complicated. Suffice it to say, all three of the other people on the show visited my wife's island yesterday because their turnip price is very good. So I shared this code and Plant, 45 minutes after I shared the code, Plant DMs me. He's like, I can't get in. I'm like, my dog, you need to be on top of it. There's no like leaving the Switch passive. That is not an option. You really are on the clock the second the code goes in. And if you don't jump in, you're totally screwed.
I need a pager. Just for Animal Crossing.
Yes.
I joined a rush of people going to Russ's wife's island.
Yeah, it was a march.
Which is the name of it. There was a bunch of people, and what made it bad is she was standing there. I've met her once in real life, but I had to do this, like, slow walk past. I did not know the protocol of, like, hey, I'm just here to sell turnips. You've got a wild price. But, hey, this is such a cool island. I'm not going to take a lot of time to stop and look around right now. But now we're pals, so I'll definitely be back whenever this.
You know what's really funny is that she definitely wasn't looking at the screen. It was just sitting on the couch, so everyone's having this.
I know that made it worse because she was just standing still, like, "Well, hey, Justin, this is weird. Hey, a friend, a visit from a friend."
The night before that, I went to Fresh's Island and just completely fleeced it of every apple I could find, so I could finally pay off my mortgage. And then I walked over to the airport, and Fresh is just waiting there, like. passing judgment. So I like look at my inventory and the only thing I have as a gift is called the Mama Bear, which is a 6 foot tall teddy bear with floral print on it. And that I just dump it at his feet.
Talk about wild power plays. You can go to your friend's island, shake their tree, take their fruit. That's delightful and irritating. I have no idea the etiquette, by the way, on like every island has like one of five different fruits. So if you try to sell your local fruit at a different island, you get better money for it. Or if you take someone's foreign fruit back to your island and grow it, then you can sell it on your island for a pretty penny. So it makes sense to get people's fruit and then grow it on your island. I don't know what the protocol is for taking things. I do know that it is bad form to Animal Crossing makes it possible to eat a fruit, get super strong for a second, and just dig up a whole tree and put it in your pocket. That, I'm sure, is frowned upon.
That is not accepted.
I am fairly certain.
I think that the coolest thing about the multiplayer, and this goes back to, like, this moment, this, like, strange comfort zeitgeist that we are all in with this game right now. I'm like Switch friends with a lot of people who I don't know, like, all that well. Like, other games industry people and like other folks I follow on Twitter, but that I've never met in real life. And one of the like sort of bad things about the online in this game is like if you want to go to a friend's island, you go to the dodo and say, hey, I want to go to a friend's island. And then if somebody has their gates open, it'll say like, okay, well, it looks like Ferngill is open. That's the name of the island, not the name of an actual friend. And so, like, you have to know what your friend's island is named if you want to fly to the right island. Or, like, some nights when I don't really have much else to do, I will just go to the airport and see what's open and fly there, and it'll be one of these people that I don't actually know very well. And we are all playing, like, we are both playing Animal Crossing. We're both playing it for the same reason, and we are both sort of going through the same like shit right now, and both sort of escaping that shit with the same sort of game. And it is this like really profound like rainbow connection thing that is at a scale. I had 20 people online playing this game last night. I had 20 friends, like 20 Switch friends, all playing Animal Crossing, and I have never seen a game launch like that in my life. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen a game launch with that many people I know, that many like online friends, all doing the same thing for the same reason. And it has been genuinely like helpful for my like mental well-being during all this.
It is also, it's worth noting that this thing is going to be a mammoth hit.
Some of the
early information coming out today is that Animal Crossing is going to do 2.5 million units in Japan alone.
Wow.
In its first 3 days.
Oh my.
Which makes it the biggest Switch game ever.
Right.
Surpassing like the Zelda and Pokemon and
Smash and
all
everything.
Of, I mean, like,
yeah.
Everything.
Bigger. Yeah. Smash. Like all of it. Bigger than all of it. And that's in Japan alone, 2.5 million copies. Like,
yeah, it's going to be. I mean, I know people that are just buying Switches just because they heard about this and they need an outlet. I want to mention, so we're recording this on March 25th. I started playing on February 28th because I was reviewing it for Polygon. So I got a code early, which we've discussed on the podcast. Griffin was very upset about it. And it should be noted that, like, there's an element when you start playing this game when you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm excited to see what the next day has for me. Maybe a new villager shows up. Maybe you upgraded a building. Maybe there's a museum, whatever. So I'm almost a full 30 days at this point into the game. And every single one of those 30 days, I have still maintained that excitement. Now, granted, it's not always, hey, I'm going to get a new building. A lot of the major, major upgrades happen in the first, let's say, 2 weeks of the game. But even after that, I'm excited like, oh, my fruit is coming in today. I'm going to harvest it and get a bunch of money. Oh, I've been trying to like move my rocks around so I can get all the rocks in like a little clump. I wonder where the new rock is. I'm collecting fossils every day. Like, it literally has this element of here's a little like drip feed excitement moment for you each day. And it's not a lot. Like, you know, the argument is basically maybe there's an hour's worth of gameplay a day. That hasn't stopped me from playing 6 hours a day, whatever it is.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Let's talk about
someone actually the other day told me they looked at my profile and it said 140 hours.
Yowza!
I was like, right. I had no idea. Right. I if someone were to ask me, I would have said maybe 50, maybe.
Yeah. Well,
and it just like every single day becomes like this is the thing, and it's like a release. It's like a total I'm removed from reality release, which I realize can be a little unhealthy. But you know what? It's kind of
what's unhealthy is your great wall of bugs that you have built. Russ has
tell me about the wall of bugs, Russ.
Sure. So last night I tweeted a video about a wall of bugs. Now, for some of you might know that there's a vendor that occasionally shows up in your town that buys bugs at a 20% premium. There are bugs in the game that are worth a whole bunch of money, but I also ran out of storage space in my house, so I was like, maybe I'll just stack them on the beach until the guy shows up. You couldn't do that in previous Animal Crossing games because you couldn't put furniture out. So now I just have 46 containers of the same Emperor Butterfly just chilling on a long wall of bugs. And I'm just waiting for this guy to show up, and it's only growing. Last night, I collected 38 tarantulas on a random island that I visited. They're getting added to the wall of bugs. It's just going to be walls of bugs from now on.
Imagine going to Russ's island. I'm like, hey, welcome. We got a lot of cool trees, and over here is my wall of bugs. You want to peruse it?
I should mention, I work with someone who is deathly, deathly afraid of spiders, and I have a deep-seated fear that she's going to show up one day and not tell me and walk over there and have a total fucking meltdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. Does anybody have any final thoughts? I feel like we need to
I have one more question that's specifically
on.
For Griffin, because I don't know how music works. Like to know how music works. The music in this game is a cure for me. It brings me so much joy, and I don't know how it works because it should be repetitive, Like, it's not like some, you know, massive collection of music. It's kind of the same thing over and over and over again.
Oh, it's a massive collection of music. They have new... I mean, if it's like other Animal Crossing games, I haven't really dove in, but the most recent couple Animal Crossing games, there's new themes for every hour.
Yeah.
And then variations on those themes based on the weather. So, like, there's a rainy 5 p.m. theme, right?
You have to actually... I should mention, you have to unlock that. That's something that comes along like a little bit later.
Yes, of course.
So the music that you're hearing right now, Plant, is something that will get more complex as you play.
Okay. Well, it reminds me of like those lo-fi chill study hall YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And then like a monastic chant where it's just repeating the same thing over and over, and that like lulls me into a state of tranquility. And I'm curious, one, how does this get made? The only other comparison I could think of is Tiny Wings on iOS. Where I like that. I don't know if y'all remember that game, but like I could just listen to that tune forever and it would bring me peace.
Well, I mean, to be to do like a more sort of mainstream example of that, like the Minecraft music is that to like the extreme of just like extremely, extremely thematic, listenable music to underscore like a, you know, simulation based experience like that. It's obviously two different sort of musical schools that they are composing from, but it is, I think, the same idea and serving the same purpose.
Yeah, it's music to work to, essentially. And I should mention, if you're a fan but you are also working at this time, there's a Chrome app that you can install called Animal Crossing Music that actually will play different hourly music depending on the day and weather in your life at present, which is spectacular.
I am going to be curious... I'm not, curiosity is not the right word. I feel pretty confident, and this goes back to like Justin's thesis, that, you know, a year from now, 5 years from now, like, we're going to look back on Animal Crossing New Horizons with a, like, a feeling about it that I don't know. Okay, I'll speak personally. I will look back at New Horizons with a feeling that, like, I don't know that I have about any other game. And I've been playing games my whole life, and I'm certainly nostalgic about a lot of them. And a lot of them have filled, like, important needs in my life, or, like, you know, important social needs in my life, especially once, like, online games became a thing. But everybody is doing that with New Horizons, and I genuinely do think it's going to be a very sort of special game in the pantheon of all games ever made just because of what it is doing for us right now. It is bizarre.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break, and then we will be right back with even more great content on our show. There is a lot you can capture in your day-to-day existence in Animal Crossing, but there's some parts of your day-to-day life that aren't modeled. And I wanted to talk to you guys about what bits of your life do you wish you could include in your Animal Crossing experience?
I think my biggest problem with Animal Crossing New Horizons isn't the online multiplayer hurdles, isn't the fact that the tools break after you use them half of one time. It's that there's really just one bag of medicine and you get hit by a wasp in your eyeball every time. The wasps are like, we know which eyeball we like. It's that one and we're going to get it. And then you have to go eat a bag of medicine, which isn't like... Timmy and Tommy aren't licensed pharmacists, so we can start there. And you can also make it yourself with a wasp's nest and 10 clumps of weeds that I guess you just quomp down in a mortar and pestle and then eat that instead.
Like, well, it's a hair of the dog situation.
Is it? Yeah, it's a... Yeah. So I think it would be nice to just like get some more kinds of medicine in there. Like, say I eat a particularly spicy peach, and then I do need to get some Imodium from the store. And maybe that can be like 10 clumps of weeds and a spicy peach, and then that will fix my stomach issues. Or if I'm feeling kind of, you know, anxious or depressed, 10 clumps of weeds and, I don't know, human brain. Clam or something, and then, you know, I make some Animal Crossing Zoloft or something like that. That would be a welcome addition.
Griffin, what is wrong? It's a panacea, right? That's what they call these medicines that cure literally everything on the planet.
Yeah.
And it seems like they, Timmy and Tommy, have found this, because I found a very depressed villager who was like, I'm feeling kind of out of it. Do you have any medicine? And bam, medicine did the trick. I have not found a moment in Animal Crossing where medicine has not done the trick. It's generic medicine, sure, but it's working, man.
Did that villager have a wasp sting on their eyeball? Well, then that was irresponsible practicing that you
did. It worked out.
Okay. All right.
Justin, what would you want in the game from your day-to-day life?
I just want to be able to use the bathroom.
You can.
And here's the problem I have. Today I walked into the Nook's Cranny, the store, and they had a large standing toilet. And I was like,
wait, the toilet is standing, or you're supposed to use it while standing?
No, it's like a big, like, floor-length urinal.
Got it.
I guess you'd call it. You know what I mean? And I looked at it, and I was like, absolutely. That is hilarious. I want to put one in the middle of my house. That's too good. So I bought it, and I took it home, and I realized, like, I can't use the bathroom in this game. What is this in the context of my experience? Does it make sense to set up a bathroom in a game? I would love to have a bathroom. Does it make sense to set up a bathroom in a game where you can't use the bathroom? No.
Great news, right? Great news, Justin. You can use the bathroom in this game.
How?
Do you guys not know about this?
No.
Russ, you don't know about this?
What?
This is not a joke.
I've been playing for a month and I still don't know.
Okay, so here's the thing. Day one, I eat a bunch of fruit and get so strong that I break all the rocks on my island, which sucks because now, like, I can't get the iron nuggets and valuable resources. Sure. And I'm saying, like, man, this is kind of a bummer. I wish there was a way, instead of going around and digging up trees to, like, get rid of my fruit power.
Shut the
And
fuck
then it
up.
Has come out that if you sit on a toilet with fruit meter, it will go away. The fruit meter will slowly deplete, and then it says, well that's all there is to that. Well, done with that. So you can poop your fruit power out. So Justin, your wish is granted. Next one.
Great, moving on.
This is the best game ever.
I want to own, or not own, take care of a puppy like I do in real life. I love my dog, but the problem that I realize is the animals are the people. That's some Island of Dr. Moreau type of shit. So, like, what would I do if I had a puppy? Would they be like, you have captured one of us and refused to let him leave your house?
Damn, yeah, I've not thought about that. I have, from balloon drops, I have a little kitty corner in my room where I have a cat tower and a litter box. One of these days, a cat villager is going to come into my house and be like, yo, I love this corner, bud. I like what you've done here.
Do you have that and not a cat, Griffin?
I mean, yeah, I don't have a cat. There's no little
cat. So you're just an absolute lunatic in this game. Like, you go to Griffin's house, like, what's that for? Like, I don't know.
I haven't tried to dump my cherry power in the litter box yet. I don't know if that's a possibility.
It also sort of begs the question about the fish. Like, you can catch 80 different kinds of fish and then place them in a tank that is exactly the size of the fish. Like, maybe they have an inch on either side.
Right.
So if these fish are sentient and on the same level, maybe they have, like, an undersea version of your Animal Crossing village.
It's a goofy Pluto scenario, right? Like, we have to imagine that's how this world works. That there are goofies and there are Plutos. That, like, Goofy is the sentient dog, Pluto is the, like...
Right, but what is the dividing line? Like, how do you make that... like, are they chosen from childhood to become, like,
I think
part of high and low society?
Right? Like, fish are just entirely different. There's animals and then there are fish and bugs.
I considered this philosophical question on a stream and decided that it's thick legs. If you have thick legs... You get to wear shirts and live in houses like the rest of us and be large. If you have no legs or skinny, weird, segmented legs, I'm sorry, but here's a small box you can live in or this big, dope museum. Those are your options.
I know Chris Plant and Griffin want to take care of sweet little animals. All I want to do is fend off animals that keep encroaching. Now, in my real life, I've talked about a little bit in the past, I have a pigeon problem on my balcony. Now, right now, my balcony is a true respite from the horrors of having to be stuck inside. So I really want to be out on my balcony. The pigeons know that, and they internalize it and they camp out. And all I want to do within Animal Crossing is create a similar level of defenses to ensure that no such critters like centipedes and shit like that that I don't want anywhere near my house have no chance of approaching. It has not happened yet. I've tried building walls. They cut through the walls. I've tried, I found some iron bars. They cut through that.
There's nothing
I can do.
You've already stumbled on the answer.
What?
The bug wall.
Bug wall.
You create a bug wall as a warning. It both is a a barrier, but also a signal. If you come past the bug wall, you get put into the bug wall.
You become bug
wall. I'm absolutely off my nut. You will go into this wall. No question.
Genius. I love it.
You guys been playing anything else?
Of course not.
I'm feeling the same. I couldn't even finish Griffin. Did I get to tell you about Murder by...
No, Amanda turned me onto it on the Joko cruise, but I was very fascinated by it, but I did not dip in.
We talked about it last week when Griffin was
Yeah, we did talk about it last week, but I'll catch you up. It's a Picross... never mind. It's a Picross Murder Mystery game.
I started playing this game called Nier Automata.
Oh Jesus God!
Oh my God!
And, no,
it's very good. I mean, I think a few of us have been playing Half-Life Alyx, which
I think we're going to talk about it next week. Next week episode, if people are excited about that, I'm very excited to try it. I haven't tried it.
Oh, and Ori Will of the Wisp. I finally got past that first hour, which is a real pain, as I whined about last week, and I apologize for being a real whiny baby.
Who has played? Oh, I guess you guys. I was not on the Doom episode last week. Did you do an extended Ori bit?
We talked about it a little bit about how the beginning's a little rough.
Plant
the beginning
gets really grump. Good. He doesn't like emotions.
I really liked it. I mean, I think I've played about the same amount. I streamed about like an hour and a half of it or so, and I'm into it. I feel like it starts off with kind of a bang in a way that I'm a fan of. I did not realize they re-released Saints Row 4 on Switch last week.
Yeah, I think the port is terrible, no?
I mean...
Have you tried it?
No, I've not tried it. If it's on the level of Saints Row 3, like Saints Row 3 for Switch wasn't like amazing, but it was totally playable, and... Mm. I like Saints Row 4 a lot more than I like Saints Row 3. I think Persona's out next week. Persona 5 Royal.
Oh, yeah. Won't be playing that. Yeah. Too much reading.
It's very good.
Do you have it, Chris?
It's very good.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Oh, beans. Yeah. Is there anything else? I feel like...
There's
feel
like infinite maybe... things, but yeah. You know, we'll be diving into these over the next few weeks and months. There are
it's
so
extremely
many games
busy
for us
right
to
now
about.
In the world of video games.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
true.
Yeah.
Good.
Do we have time to do some reader
thoughts?
Yeah,
I think we can sneak in some reader mail.
Ask people for their thoughts. I would say it's so looking over the emails, we got a ton of them about Animal Crossing, and it's just like very positive. It's like an outpouring of love. I'll give you a couple. Kate said, "My sibling and I had a very troubled childhood, but playing Animal Crossing on GameCube was a crucial escape for us. Getting to build a kind, colorful, and overall charming community together provided a comfort we didn't have otherwise. So it's fitting this new Animal Crossing entered our lives at a time we desperately needed it, just as before." That's from Kate. Anna said, ACNH has been the absolute highlight of the past few weeks for me. Yesterday, I visited my boyfriend. We've all been quarantined separately for a week, and his 11-year-old son got really into watching me play AC, so he brought the game for himself. And my boyfriend's son just visited my island for the first time, and he was so proud of his custom design for his little shirt he made. So my friends complimented him on it, and it was just so pure and sweet.
Oh.
We're going to be locking down completely soon, so I won't be able to see my boyfriend or son for a while, but we can still visit each other's islands, and I can show my love for them by giving them apples and other presents.
Oh, God.
This is from @Lars on Twitter. I pretended to be sick for a week to get off school just so I could make sure that Frobert the Frog wouldn't leave me. I sent him so many love letters and was heartbroken that he didn't recognize me in another town.
I've had that with Sprocket. Is in two of my friends' towns. He was my OG villager, and every time I see Sprocket, he's like, "Oh, hi, I'm Sprocket." I'm like, I grab him by the face each time, like, "Sprocket, I know it's me, Sprocket."
It's like a metaverse situation. It's terrifying.
From @BiteSharkYum, I got the ladder in New Horizons before my brother, so when I went to visit his weed-freed town, I climbed up to the second level, which still had weeds, and picked a bunch of them, then replanted them right in front of his house. He happened by and proceeded to hit me with an axe.
That's funny. So I will admit, I did take the opportunity to visit a lot of newbie towns, take my ladder, climb up to the upper level and steal any fossils that were up on the upper levels that newbies couldn't actually access.
Which was pretty great. Yeah.
Abby emailed about, and I mainly want to read it to remind us to talk about like one of the best parts of the game. The museum is obviously gorgeous and I adore everything about it, but what is up with the part of the fossil exhibit with all the animal silhouettes and then just a blank space that shines a light on you when you stand under it?
I can talk to that. I actually wrote a little story about that. So the museum, specifically the fossil part of the museum in Animal Crossing, the new one, is all about evolution. So you walk into this first opening room and there's like a single cell on the ground effectively. And from that cell are lines. And if you follow the lines, you can actually see the progression of species as they evolve through time. So eventually when you get to the final room, there's like a giant saber-toothed tiger skeleton. And above that, there's a line leading up to a normal like cat silhouette showing that this is the final evolution of cats essentially. And the blank space right below it is a human skull because you evolved from this early human skull. And you're supposed to stand there and a light shines on you.
I just want to correct you, Russ. You said the final evolution of cats. You mean the current evolution of cats.
That's
we all know,
fair.
Like, year 30,000, Cats 2 is going to be
Jellicle cats are the final evolution
chains.
Of cats.
Are you telling me there's a chance I will at one point dig my beautiful cartoon shovel in the ground and come up with a fucking human skull?
It's actually a Australopithecus, I believe. So it's like a caveman situation, but yes.
Got it.
Fantastic.
But he did have dreams and hopes and wishes and was capable of love.
You know? I wonder what happened to him. Oh wait, I've just been bitten by 35 different spiders, so I bet. I know.
Sorry, I'm checking the notes in quick fact check. The final evolution of cats is Meowth. Meowth.
Oh.
Okay, good. Glad to clear that up.
I mean, technically Persian is the final evolution of Meowth, so nice try. Hey Chris, nice joke. Maybe think about it next time before you make a joke.
Well, I cried reading an email about Animal Crossing, so we're pretty much done. Thank you for listening to our program. We would ask you to make sure to follow us on Spotify.
Yeah, we should mention this is only on Spotify for the people that might be listening for the first time. We're only on Spotify.
That's a good point.
So
yeah,
you should.
It's only on Spotify.
Yeah, pop
but you
over
can
to Spotify
follow us.
And just click follow on the besties, and you'll listen for free.
Yeah.
Plant, you wanted to say something?
Oh, I was going to say that you could follow us on Twitter at the Besties Pod. If you want updates on new stuff, there's a newsletter. It's the pinned tweet at the top of our Twitter profile.
So thank you for listening. If this is your first time listening, we hope you will continue to join us. Not every episode is quite this reflective. And be sure to join us again next time for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Is a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter, and our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!